Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some breaking news. I got a great guest co-host, and I want to promo right now. You're not going to want to go anywhere because at 4:30, we're going to be joined by an economist who doesn't sound like an economist. I'd like to think of him as an economist in the Maggie Dawn vein of economists, you know, that speak the normal English that is understandable to everyone. His name's Benga Ajilore. He's a chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He's going to talk about the risks that the Trump billionaire tax cut plan is posing to rural hospitals and other medical centers here in Wisconsin. I think that is absolutely essential. Folks, your healthcare is at risk. We're going to talk about that with Dr. Ajilore. Again, that's going to be at 4:30. I got Matt Rothschild riding along with me today. He's the host of Wisconsin Forward, a wonderful podcast you can find wherever you find your favorite podcast, and of course at civicmedia.us. I've got some breaking news coming out, Matt, that is related and super important to our discussion today. Just within this past hour, in a stunning moment, a slew of Senate Republicans have come out very clearly against Donald Trump's tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations budget reconciliation package. This is a big deal. Republicans opposing the package include Ron Johnson for all the wrong reasons, Rand Paul for some of the right reasons, but some of the wrong reasons, Susan Collins and Josh Hawley, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, Josh Hawley for most of the right reasons, specifically Josh Hawley calling the proposed devastating historic cuts to Medicaid, quote, immoral. That is Josh Hawley's language in an op-ed published last, I believe, Monday in the New York Times. But I wanted to start on a slightly different note this afternoon, Matt. Did you hear any of the kerfuffle starting on Friday and over the weekend, Matt, related to Jim Comey's errant and in totally bad judgment post to Instagram? It was the shell grouping on a beach that said 8647. 86 used to be a restaurant term that referred to the fact that you ran out of something. It grew to mean like 86ing someone, killing someone, 47, meaning the 47th president. He apologized, said he didn't know that. Shouldn't have done it, stupid. But the right wing acted like Jim Comey actually meant it, which I thought was weird, given that Donald Trump has actually fomented violence. Seemed a little off to me, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I can understand. I don't like Jim Comey because what he did to Hillary Clinton, because I think he did more to, you know, defeat Hillary Clinton than any of the Russian stuff did. So I don't like Jim Comey, but, you know, a lot of people his age and my age think 86 is the old restaurant term and aren't hip enough to know that it means you should bump someone off.
Yeah, it was stupid. I'm not, Jim Comey to me is the example of when people in government think that their judgments, their subjective judgments about things are presumptively correct and don't gut check themselves. It's why there are policies and things within departments. And Jim Comey, I think, let his ego get the best of him back in 2016 for sure. But just in case we've got some of our conservative friends listening, they're like, that Jim Comey needs to be investigated because he threatened the president. I just like to remind us all of this little ditty from Donald Trump.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter. But his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Just wanted to, again, put some things in context. Thought we could start there on this Monday morning with that reminder. I wanted to start today in our really more deep substance, Matt, talking about the hiccups in the market following Friday's bond downgrade of U.S. Treasuries by Moody's. It was the last downgrade in a number of downgrades. And here's what Moody's had to write. And there is more breaking news just happening. Fannie Mae has been also downgraded just moments ago by Moody's. Fannie Mae is a government, it's like a quasi public-private entity. It's used for a lot of student loans. Anyways, that downgrade following the U.S. government bond downgrade by Moody's. Here's what Moody's analysts had to say about the U.S. bond downgrade. Successive U.S. administrations and Congress have failed to agree on measures to reverse the trend of large annual fiscal deficits and growing interest costs. We do not believe that material multi-year reductions in mandatory spending and deficits will result from current fiscal proposals under consideration. If the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is extended, just reminder everybody, that's the Donald Trump tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires, part one, they're debating part two presently, is extended, Moody says, which is our base case, it would add at least $4 trillion to the federal fiscal primary deficit over the next decade. As a result, we expect federal deficits to widen, reaching nearly 9% of GDP by 2035, up from 6.4% in 2024, driven mainly by increased interest payments on debt. We anticipate the federal debt burden will rise to 134% of GDP by 2035. This decision to lower the U.S. credit profile and rating would be expected to lift the yield that investors demand in order to buy treasury debt to reflect more risk and could dampen sentiment toward owning U.S. assets, including stocks. Now with the downgrade on Fannie Mae, this is, for folks that don't know much about credit rating agencies, you've got Fitch's, Moody's, and Standard & Poor's. These are the three major national credit rating agencies. These are the agencies that institutional investors and international investors look at to assess the riskiness of different debt instruments. They're telling the world right now that U.S. Treasuries are not as safe of an investment as they were a year ago. Now, setting all else aside, Matt, that is Donald Trump's fault. Period. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Our deficit, even if his tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations is not passed, this new giveaway, this new slate of welfare for those that don't need any more help, even without all of that, the downgrade has happened. And it's reflective of the fact that it's now because of Donald Trump's self-inflicted economic chaos, unforced errors, it's going to cost the U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars more to pay for the debt that we already have. That's what happens when your credit rating goes down, as every consumer knows. Now, I'm just going to say this as an economist. The U.S. running deficits is not in and of itself a problem. Deficits at these levels do start to get to be a problem because a huge amount of the revenue that is collected through taxation and other mechanisms by our federal government, more and more of that has to go to debt financing, i.e. paying the interest on the U.S. treasuries that other investors hold, instead of going to the services or our military or our veterans or housing initiatives or all those things. I just wanted to get your non-economist reaction to this news, Matt. I think this is a very clear failing grade from those that understand risk best in our economies.
Yeah, it's not good news for anyone. It's certainly an F for Donald Trump. But it, to me, it foretells the demise of the dollar as the currency of last resort globally, as the safe haven when you're in economic trouble, people would flock to the dollar. That's not happening now. In fact, the opposite is happening. The dollar's going down. And this is almost never happens, and yet it's happening now. So this is a real decline for the U.S. economy that Donald Trump himself is responsible for and will be increasingly responsible for if he shoves through this huge tax giveaway to the super rich.
Yeah, and it's so bizarre. I'm getting some of the comments from some of these Senate Republicans, including Wisconsin's Ron Johnson, about why they're not going to support the big, beautiful bill. And they're all over the map, to be fair. Josh Hawley, Senator Collins, saying that their objections are to the gutting of Medicaid, right? They're actually concerned about middle-class people. Ron Paul, son of Rand Paul, talks about the deficit. Ron Johnson is on Earth 2 somewhere. Here's Ron Johnson's quote. "I don't think that people who voted for Donald Trump thought we'd embrace Democrat priorities." It's never been a Democrat priority to explode the deficit. Democrats have always proposed raising taxes on the rich so that they pay their fair share to help fund Democratic priorities that support middle class families, small businesses, and the working poor. I don't know what plan. I mean, again, Ron Johnson on Earth 2. Any reaction to this weird mishmash of reasonings from Republican senators as to why they won't support the bill?
Yeah, and Ron Johnson, who is one of the richest men in the Senate, has about $100 million by my back the envelope calculation. Wants to see the tax cuts go through for the super rich, for him and his buddies, and just wants to make people on Medicaid suffer more. I mean, that's basically what he's been saying.
Yeah, he wants to rob from the poor to give to the rich. Ron Johnson is the reverse Robin Hood of the U.S. Senate by leaps and bounds. These are just fascinating developments worthy of note, and we're going to get there. Perhaps immediately, the House has scheduled, or at least had scheduled up until this afternoon's developments from the Senate, the full House vote on the big, beautiful bill to rob from the poor to give to the rich for Thursday morning at 1 a.m. I'd just like everybody to know, when legislatures schedule votes for the middle of the night so that no one is paying attention, it's because they don't want anyone to be paying attention, because they've got their hand in your pocket and they are stealing from you to help enrich their cronies and donors. Shame, shame on Mike Johnson and the House Republicans. I find all of this very ironic, Matt, given that Donald Trump just told Walmart that it should just eat the cost of the tariffs. Hey, Republicans, you know when you call Democrats communists and socialists? Yeah, communism as an economic system is where the government tells business owners what prices they should charge and how much profit they should earn. That's what Donald Trump just did. Just in case you were wondering about the differences between economic systems. I'll be right back with my guest co-host, Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward. I'm Maggie Dawn. We continue to dig in to this afternoon's breaking economic news because it matters to your pocketbook right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.